You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning and welcome to America's Web Radio. And it's time now for the Dan and Dave Show. Mr. West Coast himself, liberal to the hilt, Mr. Dan is on with us. Did I describe you well?
Well, good morning, my good friend Dave. What's going on over there on the right coast?
You know, I heard something scary today, and real scary, as a matter of fact. We're sending that carrier group into the, what is it, the Sea of China, is that right? Or close?
I believe it would be, yeah.
Close to North Korea. To sort of let them, I think we're sending them notes of something that we're there. And a show started out today that I was working and I wasn't paying that much attention, but whoever the host was started out with, "Are you ready? Are you prepared for war?" And it's only my personal opinion. Oh, by the way, we've got Ellen Deal coming on at 10:15, which is she's always great to be on. She's almost as conservative as I am, and so we'll talk to her about some of these things too from a woman's standpoint. But this thing could heat up, I kept thinking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. And, you know, there's the old saying, "Who blinked?" Well, in that case, Khrushchev did. Kennedy put his cards on the table and said, you know, we're going to stop and search and turn them around if they're carrying missiles to Cuba, any of the Russian ships. So I don't know if Trump is backing Putin into such a corner that we're going to have that scenario again. Who's going to blink first? I personally support him. He obviously has the brain power around him and is surrounded by it that can advise him much better than I can or could or would. But I think it had to be done, but we're beginning to play with fire. But I think we can't let that sawed-off fat little piece of garbage have nuclear weapons or the capabilities of striking Portland, Oregon, because I've got to have Dan for the Dan and Dave Show. I that would be terrible to be without you. So,
well, you know, I think Obama probably helped create a bully, and you do that by backing away, and when you do that, the bully gets stronger and stronger and stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to deal with that bully,
you have to hit him.
Blood's going to be drawn.
Yep.
It's difficult. Putin told us if we struck Syria again, there would be military consequences from Russia. And I don't know why we're sending the USS Carl Vinson into the Korean Peninsula. It was not headed there and then abruptly turned around and it headed there was the information that I got. So some news or developments or something prompted us to turn that carrier group around. Do you know what that news was?
Well, I think the two Russian warships that went into the Mediterranean and are close to our two destroyers, I think that's what prompted it. And, you're going to throw a ship at us, we'll throw two at you.
But why are we going to the China Sea? I mean, that's not all that close to the Mediterranean.
Well, no. The China Sea is, a message to North Korea that we're here, and if you don't stop doing what you're doing, we're going to do something about it. So we got the Syrian situation, and we've got we're a strike of a match away from a Korean situation. And plus, we're still fighting in Iraq, and we're still fighting in Afghanistan. We're getting spread awfully thin.
Well, I think Trump is playing his cards right now. He's the negotiator. So he showed the world that he was willing to unleash hell in Syria. And I think he's hoping that's going to make North Korea back down. I don't think it will. And I'm not sure it's going to make Russia back down, frankly. I don't think in Syrian warplanes were being launched out of that airfield that we struck. So the airfield was still functional.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of boggles my mind. Why didn't we cripple the airfield? It wasn't that big an airfield.
Well,
we had 60,000 pounds of explosives.
Trump came back and with his quote-unquote building experience, came back and said, well, we didn't damage the runway because it only takes a few hours to repair a runway. We were after their planes and so forth, which, you know, I'm not going to argue one way or the other. It wouldn't do me any good anyway. It comes back to his advice and him taking advice, and hopefully the generals and the people that are surrounding Trump are giving him correct advice, and he's moving like he said. Now, you know, I don't think it's no secret, and I'm the Soviets probably know a whole lot better than we do about our strengths and our weaknesses. Obama, again, had depleted our military, and frankly, I don't know in 79 days that Trump has been president if he was able to build it back up that quickly. That would seem to me awfully fast. But, again, I'm not privy to that information.
I wouldn't believe that's possible.
No, I wouldn't either. So, you know, are we going because of Obama? Are we stretching ourselves to a very critical place? I guess we're about to see Mr. Tillerson. I hope I'm saying that right. Tillerson, the Secretary of State. We're about to see how effective he is as he goes to Russia Wednesday, I believe it is. We're sort of surrounded by not so good. But I think you hit it on the head. Obama started too many bullies, and, you know, Trump has no choice. There is no middle of the road, I don't think. So he's got to do what he's got to do.
Well, would you be ready to see this country sign a declaration of war against
who?
Russia, perhaps, or North Korea, or Iran, or Syria? I mean, that's, are you ready to see us go to war?
I'd rather pick on some lot smaller places than some of those that you mentioned, China and Russia, I'm not interested in. If we could get somebody, you know, like Cuba that we could blow off the face, even Korea, am I ready to sign a declaration of war? No, but I think the two, and I had a conversation with somebody that you know who I'm talking about. It was sort of a one-sided conversation, but because he couldn't say a whole lot, and didn't say anything really. But the two countries, and not because of their true abilities, but just because they're run by wackos that I'm scared of. Korea, North Korea and Iran. Those people are nuts. And if they've got their finger on the button, and in some ways even more Iran than North Korea, in that I think North Korea realizes that if that little jerk pushes the button and anything's coming towards South Korea or the USA, that he just signed his own country's death warrant, that they're annihilated. They might get some of us. They might get Portland, but they're not going to get all of us. And while they're thinking they've done something, there'll be so much devastation. North Korea won't exist. As Mad Dog Mattis says, you know, they mess with us, and there will be no more North Korea. And I believe him, and I know that we have enough armament, enough missiles, enough whatever in South Korea that we could pretty well wipe North Korea off the face. Now,
I would agree with that, but I would also believe that North Korea would take a terrible toll on South Korea in the meantime. I mean, they would have 20 or 30 minutes to light the fuse on the weaponry they have aimed at Seoul and South Korea.
Well, but, you know, we have, for every one missile they may have, or they might have, or they do have, we've probably got two, if not three, Patriots there ready to shoot them down. So, South Korea is pretty well protected by the U.S. right now.
I'm not so much talking about missiles. I'm talking about 105 howitzers or, you know, some big guns, that artillery pieces that North Korea has.
We know where they are, and they'd be the first targeted, you know. It would, yeah.
I'm
not saying that you're not right to an extent, but I don't think if they were to launch a missile headed towards any place, they'd have a hard time getting a piece of Kleenex and blowing their nose before they felt us. I mean, it's
It sounds to me like Trump has drawn a line in the sand saying, North Korea, if you do another nuclear test, we're going to hit you.
Yep.
And he hasn't said that, but, you know, with that carrier task force headed in that direction, that seems to me to be the message.
I would think so. I wonder about China. For years during the Cold War, we were, we knew supposedly, or we thought we knew what Russia had, but we never knew what China had until Nixon went in and broke the ice, and then come to find out at that time in the early 60s, and well, in the 60s and even early 70s, China was sort of a paper tiger. You mess with us and we'll unleash a billion people on you. But the fact of the matter was, none of that billion could walk on water, so it was sort of, stalemate. But now, obviously, they have technology that I'm sure they've borrowed from the U.S. and borrowed from anybody they could get their hands on. You know what, Dan? We got to take a break. And our guest, Ellen Deal, will be calling in momentarily. So we'll be back on the Dan and Dave Show right after this.
Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense, as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on americaswebradio.com.
Your auto love and investment demands the best, and for 45 years, Passport Transport has been meeting those demands. From manufacturers to the one-car collectors and all other facets of the auto industry and antique auto hobby, the first and the finest with unequaled service and peace of mind. Passport Transport, your auto transportation company. Contact PassportTransport.com with your need today. Passport Transport.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening to the Dan and Dave Show, exclusively on America's Web Radio. And I want to take this opportunity to thank some of our sponsors, Passport Transport and J.C. Taylor Insurance sponsor the Classic Car Show, which is just pulling super numbers. And the two hosts, Steve Rinaldo and Jim Weber, do a fantastic job. We've had Steve Moskowitz on from AACA was on 2 weekends ago. This past Saturday, we had Dr. Fred Simeon, and people that have gone to Pennsylvania or keep up with the classic cars and the antique car hobby know exactly who Fred Simeon is. And They have just been great, and that show is wonderful. In fact, I want to compliment all of our hosts. I've been very blessed, and the people that host shows here, with you being the exception, Dan, are just wonderful, wonderful people. And I can only say that because I know you so well. But I'm teasing. You're a great guy to do the show.
Well, you know, maybe we could have our listeners settle a bet that we made.
We had a
Dave
bet.
And I made a bet about a week ago, and I bet that we had two listeners, and he bet no, we had three listeners. So if those two listeners would just call in and identify themselves so I could win that bet and take my money.
Yeah, we don't take calls.
So.
Nor would I give out.
Calls?
You know, you want me to give out the number for him to call is 503-32. No.
We don't have a phone. What kind of radio station is this? We don't take calls.
We have ten cans. And let me ask, when you were growing up, I know you have two sisters, and I had an older sister. And when we were growing up, did you and your sisters ever do the tin can and string thing and try to have your own walkie-talkie telephone system?
We weren't stupid.
Well, we went so far as...
That's all I'm going to say on that is we weren't stupid.
It works. Have you ever tried it? It works. And but you have to put you have to put rosin on the string, like you'd have on a violin whatever it is.
Yeah.
But it works. It worked.
Yeah.
And you had to have the knots just right, and you couldn't have many holes in the cans. And if you were next door to each other, there was absolutely no problem hearing each other.
So how far could you run the string? 50 feet?
If you were right next door to each other, you could hear each other just fine. I didn't say on your tin cans.
I could talk in a louder voice and you could hear me next door.
You figured it out.
Yeah.
But you'd hold that can up next to your ear and play like you were hearing them. And if you really wanted it to work, you had to have the string stretched pretty tight. And it didn't do well in rounding corners. It had to be pretty well line of sight.
Unobstructed.
Yes.
Yeah, so is that America's Web Radio? Is that in the 2017 budget? Is that type of communication system?
That's it. That's all we can afford.
I mean, I know. You're cutting edge.
We cut the edge.
Pull that can up your ear and we'll cut your ear.
That's it. Oh, well.
I'm looking at a picture of the USS Carl Vinson carrier strike group, and the carrier's right in the middle, and the support ships are around it. And it reminds me of when I was a kid and built models. And I don't know if I ever did a model of an aircraft carrier. But what a ship. What a ship. I've only seen an aircraft carrier from a distance. Never gotten very close to one, but they're massive.
Oh, yeah.
Massive ships.
They are big boys.
And the firepower surrounding it must be pretty consequential, too.
And I didn't know until, again, watching the news, which that's generally what I'm doing, either the news or old Westerns, one or the other. But I didn't know until the other day that, you know, I knew they try, they have quite a, what is it, armada that goes along with the aircraft carrier group, just like you said. They will identify any surface vessels and say they're two destroyers or they're two whatevers and whatevers or they're four whatevers with the aircraft carrier, whatever it happens to be. But you know what? The one thing that they won't say how many are with the aircraft carrier?
Submarines.
Submarines, exactly. There may be one, there may be three, but they won't say how many. I thought that was interesting.
I hadn't even thought about that. So what you don't see might might be the strongest component.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But I thought that was very interesting, and so we don't know how many are out there ready to do their thing.
Yeah, and submarines are mostly nuclear equipped, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you think the aircraft carrier is? Are they carrying a nuclear device?
I have no idea. I mean, I would have no doubt that they carry stuff you don't want to mess with. I've toured several different World War II aircraft carriers. Like you said, they are gigantic. It's what, like, on the Carl Vinson, it's like 5,000 or 6,000 crew. I mean, it's just, it's a whole little town, you know? I don't know.
You might, in a carrier task force, you might have 7,500 souls, maybe 10,000 souls.
Yeah. And wow. just think of the meals that they have to serve and how many they, you know, serving 5,000 or 6,000 guys three times a day. There are a lot
well,
of...
Well, in the fresh water. They're converting saltwater, right?
Yep. So, amazing. Amazing. Well, we're waiting on Ellen to call in, and I assume she will shortly.
Well, you don't have a telephone. You just told me.
That's
right. I
got
that figured out. She'd call in if you had a telephone to answer.
That's true. You know, I never thought about that. Maybe that's why we have so much trouble with remotes, you know? Our string just doesn't split off and go in that many directions. Wow. Never thought about that. You may have answered the question.
You know, I may have to do the can and string test with my grandsons. They've probably never heard of that kind of device. They know a lot about smartphones.
Oh, I'm sure.
But... you know, the can and string might be something new.
You know, that's
new
funny.
New technology.
That when I was growing up, and really for about, I guess about 3 years, we lived, I don't want to say on the outskirts, but my dad had a lumberyard, and he did some spec buildings, and he spec'd a home for us that was... sort of, there weren't a lot of kids around, to say the least, and so my older sister and I played a lot. But the one thing I always wanted, and gosh, as soon as I could, was walkie-talkies, and we would get walkie-talkies. I'd get them, and I'd lose them, or break them, or tear them up, or something, so almost every Christmas we'd get some shape, form, or fashion of a walkie-talkie, or some kind of telephone set up, or something. And I guess I'm just a talker and love the remote, the ability to talk to somebody that you couldn't see, you know? That was just always
fun. Yeah, well, a friend of mine has ham radio equipment, and he loves it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
You know, every night he's on his radio talking to who knows who, and he probably gets pretty good news.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, they've changed the law, which I... Before I start pushing up daisies, I may get with a ham radio. I always loved that. I had a friend that was into it, but and you're very good at it because that's what you were in the military. But you were forced to learn Morse code, and I have some kind of total mental block about Morse code. I just, you know, dot, 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 dash, 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 dot, 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 SOS. That's about the extent of my knowledge. And I think we've got, wait a second. Let's see who's calling in. America's Web Radio. Well, whoever it was, wasn't there when I answered, so, you know.
The string broke.
The string broke, yeah. Well, we have a lot of problems with strings around here, trees and limbs get tangled up in them and all this kind of stuff. But
you know, you asked a minute ago how my weekend went, and we lost power from Friday morning until Sunday about noon.
Wow.
We had no power. And my house got cold. My bed was cold.
Aww.
Fortunately, I could take a hot shower, but man, it felt primitive. Gosh, you go into a dark room, and what's the first thing you do? You reach over and
turn on the light.
Switch
that,
on, right?
That doesn't come on.
Yeah.
Wow, what was the cause of that?
I don't know. The darndest thing.
From Friday until...
That's the longest I've been without power in a long time.
Oh, yeah, from Friday to Sunday, you said?
Yeah.
Wow, that's an Atlanta-type situation. Normally... if we have an ice storm or something, it's all over with but the shouting, you know, we'll be down. Once you lose it, you ain't going to get it back for about 4 or 5 days or a week. We've gone a week at a couple of times. But for the most part, we'll be down maybe an hour, maybe 2 hours, 3 hours at the longest. But, well, you know, everything in your freezer, I guess, died, right?
Oh, we threw away a bunch of stuff yesterday. I got a whole trash bin full of mayonnaise and who knows what's in there.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm sorry.
Not nice.
Glad I didn't call.
I tell you, it's a great way to get your freezer cleaned out, though. Our refrigerator and freezer look immaculate.
I bet.
We got three things. I'm drinking my coffee with no half and half.
Oh, now that really upsets me.
I'm still suffering.
That's just showing the hair on your chest. I'm drinking my coffee no half and half. Maybe you could write a song about that. You know, I'm drinking my coffee with no half and half.
Yeah, I can't imagine anything worse.
Than what?
But, you know, it's kind of frightening when your power goes out. You're so dependent upon it, and you think, oh, my goodness, what if, you know, we had an earthquake and we lost gas, power, water.
Or how about an EMP attack?
An EMT attack. Wow.
That sort of, you know, and that's...
I don't think I would do well.
That scares me more than worrying about... Iran or North Korea trying to quote-unquote bomb us, they probably are fairly close, if they don't have it already, the ability to launch an EMP attack on us. And that's, I guess that worries me more than worrying about a nuke going off in downtown Atlanta. EMP, I mean, people could take it for a little while. And when I say a little while, it would be a very short time, hours maybe. And then if they learned what happened or if they learned how long it might be without power, they'd go crazy. They'd absolutely go crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it would be devastating.
Yep.
I bet you're going to take another break.
So we are.
Make some more money to pay
right
for maybe another 10 cans.
We
could have
it.
A three-party line. We could have three cans in a string. Would that work?
Yeah, but you can't put one on your nose. So we'll be back with this right after this message.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show, talking about politics, talking about this, that, and the other, and thought Ellen would have called in by now, but she hasn't. So such is life in the whale boat.
People think that doing a live radio show is a piece of cake. You know, we struggle with this. It's, you know, the amount of planning and preparation that goes into an hour show is, what would you say, for every minute you're on the air, you have to prepare for, I don't know.
A negative 15, 20 seconds?
That long?
That long, yeah. Sometimes, our shows, some are better than others, and sometimes people might be able to tell when we haven't really prepared. But we do have a guest that Ellen's supposed to be calling in, or she was supposed to have already called in, actually. So we'll see whether she does or not. If not, I'm sure something in her life may have come up, and she couldn't do it today. So anyway, you mentioned while we were off the air about the new Supreme Court justice. I think he's already been sworn in, and I don't want to say unofficially, but not with the pomp and ceremony. That's coming later, but I think he already has been sworn in earlier this morning by John Roberts, the Chief Justice. And from what I saw of the gentleman during the hearings, I think it looked to me like he was and will be a very, very good justice. Lord willing, he'll be there a number of years. I think he will bring a constitutional approach. And, I don't know that maybe we have. I don't remember whether we've talked about it or not. But I look at the Constitution like it is the law of the land. And I don't have a problem, per se, with interpretation of the Constitution, black and white. I do have a problem when the nine justices, or five out of the nine, or whatever, attempt to not interpret what's being said, but try to rewrite some of the Constitution. I won't say whether I think they're right or wrong in an example, but the Constitution is black and white, and I marvel at our founding fathers that could write something like that 250 years ago. It's just absolutely mind-boggling, and it was almost like they could see into the future. Not that they could say Dan's going to have a iPhone or anything else, but it was amazing the issues that they addressed without knowing that it was going to happen, you know?
Well, that's absolutely right. Wouldn't it have been fascinating to have been able to be present when these giants were talking about our country's future and the Constitution? They were probably half drunk and watched too much ESPN and sitting around smoking cigars. What do you reckon?
Hey, you know, how would they, you know, they must have played a what-if game of extraordinary abilities. What if there was communication from, I mean, it just, you know, they had the newspapers that were one at a time and single sheet, basically.
Yeah.
But, I'm like
and
you.
They knew
I'd
the world
love to
would change.
Pardon?
I don't think they knew how much the world was going to change. You know, who would?
No, we thought Dick Tracy and his talking watch were out of the question.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But these guys, I mean, you know, They all had to be some sort of dreamers, I guess. Certainly, Benjamin Franklin was quite an individual at that time and quite a thinker, obviously. But I'm like you. If I could go back then and sit down and listen to them talk and then come back and report on it, that would just be beyond. And again, you read the Constitution, and I personally, and I guess this is what I was getting to a minute ago, I'm not a big buyer into that we have a quote-unquote living Constitution, so I can address anything I want to address and wrap it around and make it mean this and make it mean that. It's sort of like the abortion issue, many issues, and that's where I think having a good constitutionalist Supreme Court is to the country's advantage. And I like everything else.
We should do an hour on the Constitution.
We do an hour every week on the Constitution.
You do, don't you?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, tell us how we can hear that show.
That show's on every Wednesday at 4 o'clock with Michael Conley as the host, and he is a constitutional attorney, and does a very good job of relating what is happening today with the Constitution. I must say, I'm glad that Gorsuch got in and is a justice now, but I'm not sure that I like the nuclear, whatever they want to call it, the way they got him in, the 51 vote to get him in. I think it wound up being 54 to 45 or something, but
I believe that's right.
I'm not. My judgment is, my thoughts are still out on it. I think the Democrats were acting very childish, and so there was not a whole lot of choice but to do that. But I frankly don't like anything that upsets or breaks my constitution. I'm very much a constitutionalist, and I think that you know everything that I do, you don't necessarily like. Everything that you do, I don't necessarily like. But that's the way it is. And then you have the Supreme Court that says, well, Dan was right and David is wrong. And that's the way it should be. And you live by it. You don't try to change it. You don't try to change the law itself. And at the same token, it's two attorneys trying to justify what the Constitution in effect or the law in effect has to do with whichever side you're on. But I love the Constitution.
Well, now you mentioned the nuclear option. So does that change the vote on future Supreme Court justices?
The way I
understand just that one time.
No, the way I understand it is they've opened Pandora's box now. They will initially go through, and it's going to be tested again, I'm sure, in the somewhat near future. Ginsburg can't live forever, or she can't. She may be able to sleep forever, but I'm not sure she can live forever. But you know, I think it'll be challenged again, and from what I understand, they would go as far as they could to go after the 60-40 vote that to approve a nominee. But if it got hung up, like the Democrats wanted to do with the filibuster and so forth, then they could invoke the nuclear option. And I have a problem with that. So, yeah, it set a precedent that they can use it any time.
Yeah, I'm just reading here, and it reminded me that Thomas Jefferson did not sign the Constitution. He was in France during the convention. Interesting. Well, that's an interesting show on the Constitution. So, does he have guests, or what is your host's, how does he run his show? Is it guest-based?
On occasions, he will have guests. On most shows are related to, and I'm sure this coming show is going to be, does the president, commander-in-chief, really have the power to strike a sovereign nation? My interpretation is that yes, he does, and that we weren't declaring war on Syria or Russia or anybody else. We were striking, you know, he had the power to do it. Declaration of war, yes, I totally agree. It needs to go before Congress and be approved by Congress.
An argument that comes up with every president.
Sure. My thing is, you go before Congress and say, we're going to declare war on XYZ country. You've just telegraphed XYZ, get ready, because we're going to start, you know, and I think if you're going to do something, you surprise is one of your best weapons. But that's beside the point. So he does current events and how it affects or how it is affecting the Constitution. I'm sure that's going to be one of his things this Wednesday, the power of the presidency. He also has stated over and over again, because it comes up frequently, the separation of church and state in the Constitution. Well, he challenges, and I will challenge anybody right now, find that. It is not in the Constitution. It is a whole nother thing. And with that being said, we got to take a break. We'll take our break, and we'll be back on America's Web Radio right after this.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctor's conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. We were just talking about the Constitution, and just to clarify it, no, there is no mention of church and state in the Constitution. That came from a letter from a lady that her church was having some kind of argument, two sides in the church, or three or four sides generally in a church. And she sent the president a letter and said, will you decide the issue? And he wrote back, that's not the place for government. Decide on your own. And that it's never been in the Constitution. It's not in the Constitution. And that's the true story. So there you have it. Anyway, so you were asking...
That sure comes up a lot, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It comes up all the time. And people will...
Church and state.
Argue, yeah. And argue that, oh, it's in the Constitution, separation of church and state. Find it. It ain't in there. No place, nowhere, no how. I tell you what, I do want to talk about. And Susan Rice, if she's not a worthless liar, I've never seen one, period. She had the Benghazi story that was all because of a videotape. She comes out that they're positive. And so did John Kerry, as a matter of fact. But she came out that through diplomacy in the Obama administration, that Syria had disposed of all of its WMDs, the weapons of mass destruction, the gas, which obviously at this point we know was one more of her lies. I'm not sure the lady knows the truth. What do you think, Dan?
Well, you know, what is the truth? Early on I said that I had heard rumors that Assad didn't drop the chemical weapon, that it was done by Al-Qaeda. Have you heard that circulating around?
No, you mentioned that the other day. No, I have not.
Yeah.
And, you know, this brings up a point as far as I'm concerned. Before we went into Iraq and Saddam Hussein, and everybody got on Bush's case, there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Well, Hussein had used weapons of mass destruction, gas, on the Kurds. He had used it to a smaller extent on some of his own people. And before we really attacked Iraq, they had pictures of truckloads going into Syria. And this was the WMD. Where did Assad get it? He got it from Iraq. And this is, you know, they've had labels on it, they've seen it, that there's no question. And then to trust the Russians that they were going to monitor Syria in getting rid of the weapons of mass destruction was another Obama joke. So you have Obama lying, you have John Kerry lying, and you have the stupid little bitch Susan Rice lying. It's to me that's very frustrating. Not that I can do anything about it, but it's still very frustrating.
Yeah, nor will anyone else do anything about it. You know, that's just the way it is. That's the way politics is done. If you tell a lie enough people will believe it.
Yeah.
I've always wondered if what we're seeing now being dropped on the Syrians isn't something that Saddam Hussein developed and had in his country.
But, oh, I have no doubt.
I guess that...
That's exactly what I just said. He had it. He wanted to get it out where the inspectors couldn't find it.
Yeah.
And so it went to Syria. And Assad is... You know, I guess he is...
You know, you just said that, but no credible news organizations that I've heard have picked that story up and said anything about it.
About where he got it?
In the last week or two.
No, I haven't heard it, but that's because I know more than they do. You upset me and I'll put my tin cans in my pocket and leave.
Yeah. You take your pocket knife and cut that string.
That's it.
Yeah. No, I don't doubt that, right here on the Dan and Dave show that our listeners hear cutting edge new stuff. They hear the truth. This is the airway of truth. But it's just interesting that maybe Iraq have WMD.
Figure this out.
Bush went in. And
Assad doesn't have the capabilities of developing weapons of mass destruction themselves. You know?
Well, the Russians do, but I don't think they would get involved at that level.
No, I don't either. But that's why I think, it just makes sense that it came direct from Hussein. Hussein ain't exactly in a position to ask for it back at this point. So they kept it and have played with it. That stuff is, since, World War I, it's been forbidden to be used in any shape, form, or fashion, and yet the world is letting this creep Assad use it. We shouldn't have been the only ones bombing them. Everybody should have been bombing them.
Well, do you think our reaction was harsh enough? Did it go far enough, or are we planning a part two?
You know, I have no answer to that. I would hope that it was enough. My gut feeling tells me it wasn't. And as I mentioned early on, I would hope that Trump's advisors militarily and internationally and whatever else have given him the right advice. Step two could be jumping off the cliff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one guy today say part of, it may have been McCain that said it, who I don't have a whole lot of love or love lost for one way or the other, but McCain may have been the one that said it. I'm not sure. But he said one of Trump's biggest assets is his unpredictability. And that may be the thing that scares Russia and China and
that scares the American citizen.
Yeah, but what kind of set does this guy have that he's having dinner with one of the most powerful people in the world, a Chinese president? And he sits down, he goes and gives us, he goes away from his dinner engagement to give a quick speech to the country that I've just ordered Syria bombed. Then he goes back to the table and he sits down next to the president of China and says, oh, by the way, I just launched a missile attack on Syria. Now, that's pretty gutsy.
Well, and if you're the Chinese guy, you listen pretty closely.
Yeah.
That gets your attention.
And, oh, by the way, while I got you here, I'm fixing to slit your throat. You
yeah.
I mean, it's... yeah, that's a pretty cool cucumber. Huh?
It was a curious set of events that all kind of happened all at once. The North Korean situation in Syria and the Chinese dinner meeting, and it just kind of was a curious, constellation of events.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
If that's a word.
Sure, why not?
Why not?
It's going to be an interesting week, my friend. Good week to listen to the news. I wish, maybe we ought to have another Dan and Dave show about Thursday to kind of update our audience on what's really happening.
We can certainly do that.
If we go to war, we ought to have Dan and Dave on every day to spread the truth. How about that?
Sure. Why not? Why not? Our string hadn't failed us yet, so,
Yeah. Let's just don't do it at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Poor thing.
I'm about ready to go to war with Atlanta.
Oh. Okay, well, I tell you what. With that being said, we got to get out of here and put the plug in the jug, get ready for Kurt Sumner and the NSPS Hour on America's Web Radio. They'll be talking land surveying and all sorts of good stuff. As always, Dan, thanks. And what time Thursday do you want to do it? No, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. Enjoyed the show this morning. We got through it. And thankfully, I got my can and string here, and I'll be ready for you next time.
You got it. Go have a cup of coffee without cream. Talk to you later.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com. The pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.